No surprises. No anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road. And with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Tonight! I thought the choice to repeat the planet was bad. Just wait till you get your pizza prepared and served by a rat. After a month of trying, we will finally finish up our dining discussion series and do our flashback to the future on Star Wars weekends. At least as long as Nick doesn't get us off track again with some tirade about DisneyStore.com or something. And in the second hour, we're out to redeem ourselves as mathematically competent with WDWNT, the math game, recalculated. You've read WDW News Today. Now you'll experience WDW News Tonight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to WDW News Tonight. I'm not Tom Corliss, and neither are you. I'm Jason Diffendahl, filling in for Tom Corliss tonight. And joining me is Nick Lo Cicero.
And what a good night it is. Jason, I'm going with one eye this evening. One eye, unfortunately. I lost the contact today.
Uh-oh.
And it's kind of interesting. A little bit dizzy at times. Hard to read, hard to see some stuff. So I'm actually already setting up my excuse if I hit wrong buttons or aren't quick on the draw. So
I see. Well, and that's going to be your excuse if the math game goes awry again too, right?
That's true. It was a little scary driving with one contact in and one out. Sorry, Orlando. Didn't mean to do that to you, but
they're probably used to it. There's enough bad drivers.
Yes, that is very true. It'll be interesting driving home in the dark afterwards. I didn't have an extra pair of glasses on me. I didn't have any extra contacts. It was just, I don't know, it was rubbing in my eye. You wear glasses? Do you ever wear contacts? Do you ever try?
I do wear contacts.
Okay.
Yeah, I do wear contacts. I have the one day disposables.
Yeah.
So I usually just carry around like a bunch of extras.
Yeah, smart, smart.
You know, but I normally wear glasses when I don't, you know, not riding on roller coasters or something.
Mr. MIT right there, Mr. Math Game. You know to bring extra.
Yes, the math game. I'm excited about the math game tonight. Mostly because you're not running it.
Well, yes. I looked at your, my math may have been off, but my equations were at least doable. Yours are like, find Y if X and Z and R do this and that. Oh my goodness, I don't know what we're doing with that.
We're gonna challenge some people.
We are, but we're going to play that in the second hour tonight.
That's right.
10 o'clock. So
please don't start calling in now because you're just going to be on hold for an hour.
Yeah, but
we'll let you know.
We got some prizes from Theme Park Connection, like always.
That sounds good to me.
All right, Jason, what do you say you kick us off with some news tonight?
Sure. Let's talk about Animal Kingdom. May 27th, 2 days from today, opening are a nice set of new offerings, the Kilimanjaro Nighttime Safaris, the Tree of Life Awakenings, Tiffin's Restaurant, and the Nomad Lounge. So beginning May 27th, the park will awaken at night with new rich experiences under the stars. There's an exciting lineup of new experiences coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom after the sun sets, including the park being open. How about that? nightly awakenings of the park's iconic Tree of Life Wow, I never really knew the Tree of Life is nocturnal and it awakes at night.
Apparently.
Animal spirits will be brought to life each night by magical fireflies that reveal colorful stories of wonder and enchantment, along with other amazing sights at the tree.
Yes. I think it's funny that they're really running with this awaken thing. I'm wondering if, like, Rogue One is a good movie, if, like, everything will have Rogue in it.
Yes.
They'll just go with that, you know, like, Rogue Winter at Disney Parks.
I like Rogue Winter. Rogue right? Autumn. How about Rogue Autumn?
Rogue Autumn, right. Like, sounds...
that's going to be ridiculous.
Sounds good.
Ah, wow. all right, so along with the Tree of Life awaken, I hope it's you know, I hope the Tree of Life is not a grumpy morning person. That would be bad. After the sun sets, you'll also be able to explore Kilimanjaro safaris and see the nighttime behavior of the wildlife and better tune into the unique vocalizations of the animals like never before. That's because they get out their cell phones after everybody goes home.
We'll see. In their natural habitat, right?
Yes. In their natural habitat, there's vocalizations like never before. The village of Harambe in Africa will become the place to enjoy the wildlife party. Is that how you pronounce that, party?
Yeah, I don't think it's partai.
It's not partai, no.
Yeah.
And the spirited community of Discovery Island will come together to celebrate their love of the natural world with the Discovery Island Carnival.
Well, there's not many other choices, is there? It's par tea or par tie. So we'll go with tea.
Yes.
I think that's what Tom says. And Tom, you know, par we tea. Know.
Maybe it's just great. Maybe it's just like the emphasis is on the second syllable instead of the first.
Oh,
par
okay.
Tea instead of party. Par tea. Whatever. Opening May 28th, I guess it couldn't make it on the 27th, so the 28th, Jungle Book Alive with Magic. Enter a wild world of wonder inspired by sights and sounds from the Jungle Book and timeless Indian celebrations. Gather your friends and family as evening falls over Disney's Animal Kingdom Park and make your way to Discovery River. By the water's edge, an Indian celebration of survival, courage, and friendship is about to unfold. The Jungle Book, Alive with Magic, is the tale of a human boy, Mowgli, and all of his animal friends and foes. But while you may be familiar with the tale, you've never experienced it quite like this.
All right. Fair enough. On water screens, I guess? Is that what we're going to see?
It will be barges teeming with jubilant singers,
ooh,
Indian musicians, and colorful performers take to the waters. While fellow players join in from nearby riverbanks, and the breathtaking sight of light displays and massive water screens
water
projecting
screens.
Imagery from the blockbuster film. So it's kind of like Rivers of Light, but without most of the functionality, I guess. Instead, they're having some people dancing around on the barges.
It's all good.
You know, Jungle Book, you know... That's pretty exciting, and it fits perfectly with the theme of Animal Kingdom, which is nice. I think that's a really neat, you know, tie-in. It just kind of worked out nicely for them to have the Jungle Book opening and Animal Kingdom needing something to fill in some time. Yes, your hair looks nice, Nick.
I look like I just woke up.
So, don't miss your chance to feel the spirit of the Jungle Book surround you in a lively celebration of music and visual artistry. Featuring rousing Indian-inspired pop-style arrangements of the movie's hit songs Trust in Me, Bare Necessities, and I Wanna Be Like You, this uplifting musical presentation builds to a show-stopping finale.
That's cool. I hope they use it sounds like they're going to use the songs from the live-action movie. That'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah, I think they are. So it should be good. It should be good. So forget about your worries and your strife, and forget that you're supposed to be seeing Rivers of Light, and swing on by for this musical, magical, madcap sensation that's hooting, screeching, howling good fun for the whole family.
Wonder if people think they're going to go see Rivers of Light, and it turns out to be Jungle Book.
It wouldn't surprise me that there's going to be people there that are thinking that's, or not only that they're going to be think they're going to be seeing Rivers of Light, but that they're going to go and tell people that Rivers of Light is all about the Jungle Book. Like they're going to actually think that was Rivers of Light.
Yep.
The show is 20 minutes long and will be presented twice nightly at 9 and 10:30 p.m. through July 2nd. I wonder why it ends July 2nd. What do you think happens on July 3rd? Let me think about that. Maybe does Avatar Land open?
Avatar joke of the week!
Nope, Avatar Land is not open.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It would have been cool if this was an Avatar-themed show. Be fun. No, not cool.
I don't know what I think about that.
I don't know what the music of Avatar is.
It wouldn't be a hooting, screeching, howling good fun for the whole family if it was themed to Avatar.
That'd be amazing if we sat there and they played that blue song.
Wow.
Some Navi dancing around.
That would be crazy.
Anywho.
And of course, not one to let a dining package opportunity pass by. Disney's offering the Jungle Book dining package. The park's culinary team is working on special dining packages, which will begin May 28th at Tiffin's and at Tusker House Restaurant for the new limited engagement nighttime show, The Jungle Book: Alive with Magic. Similar to the Fantasmic dining package, the Jungle Book dining package includes reserved seating for the nighttime show. You can eat at the All You Care to Eat Tusker House Restaurant, breakfast, lunch, or dinner on the day of the show, as long as it's before at least 2.5 hours before the show. Breakfast is $37. Lunch and dinner is $49, plus tax and gratuity. And you can use the Disney Dining Plan, one table service credit for Tusker House. At Tiffin's, the package includes your choice of appetizer, entree, dessert, and non-alcoholic beverage at either lunch or dinner. The dining package is $67 for adults, $32 ages 3 to 9 plus tax and gratuity. And Tiffin's is on the Disney Dining Plan but counts as two table service credits. And meanwhile, the rumored $450 Frozen package at Disney California Adventure is also on the dining plan. It counts as 27 table service credits.
It's a good deal.
I guess. If you have a lot of credits left over, yeah, just use them for that.
Well, I won a lot of credits at the arcades. Each ticket.
You could win arcade tickets.
Yes.
And spend them on dinner at Tiffin's. Nice. Reservations open May 21st for Tiffin's restaurant as well as these dining packages. Call 407-WDW-DINE.
Well, you know what, Jason? Speaking of dining at Walt Disney World, we have a special guest on the line.
Ooh, a special guest.
Special guest. Who could it be? None other than Tom Corliss. So good evening, Tom.
God, is the monologue always that bad when I'm not in?
Yup.
Wow, that was... I've told some bad jokes in my life, but that was really terrible. But anyway.
How you doing tonight, Tom? You having fun out there?
I am doing well. I'm on my way home from STK, and
So tell us all about it. STK down there at Disney Springs.
So first of all, last night we got invited to, there was a media grand opening party for STK Orlando. For those unaware, STK Orlando is the new steakhouse. I was a bit confused about the word steakhouse after last night. I'll explain more later. But it's a new steakhouse. It's pretty much where Comedy Warehouse used to be, where Pleasure Island, which is now, of course, the landing just a few steps away from Jack Lindsay's and the Boathouse and Maury Motoasia and all of that. And so we went to this media grand opening party, and it really was just that. It was a party. They brought us up to the third floor is the patio, and there is an indoor portion up there also with seating, but there's a patio, and they had a live DJ, and they just sort of walked around with samples of different drinks and a couple of small samples of some of the plates. And so we didn't get a really good feel for what the restaurant was. The five or six things we had tried small bites of were very, very good. The atmosphere, however, we were concerned. Now,
really?
Obviously, Pleasure Island has been gone for a very long time. My concern was, well, they solved a lot of their problems. I know I say their problems because a lot of people love Pleasure Island, and I'm not going to discredit anyone for their love of that. But Disney had a fair amount of problems from the clientele, the atmosphere, things like that with Pleasure Island. So I was a bit concerned that they were bringing back, they were at least going to have two venues that were sort of club-esque, which would be the Edison, which will open next year, and this. That being said, the dinner experience we had tonight was very different. And so what I've been told is they open for dinner at 5 o'clock. From 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock, the level, the volume level of the music from the DJ who was there, there's always a DJ there.
Oh, wow.
The volume level will increase as the night goes on.
Okay.
So we started eating at 5 o'clock. It was very quiet. It was nice. And I noticed by like 6 o'clock, you could really hear the song. And then by 7 o'clock, we had to start screaming, which, in fairness, my family is Italian and from New York, so they were screaming already. But
and this is tonight.
Screaming at a higher volume than normal.
This is tonight when you were sitting for the actual meal, right?
So I just want to preface with the party. So at the party, there was a big concern about atmosphere. So I want to talk about the atmosphere tonight for dinner. We had an actual reservation, no media, no free food. So I'm not, you know, shilling for SDK or the Walt Disney Company. So the atmosphere will get more of a party atmosphere as you get later into the evening. That being said, the meal experience we had was really phenomenal tonight. There was one or two plates that were honestly, my mother had ordered the filet, the bone-in filet, which is quite honestly the greatest filet I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
That being said, I had the 16-ounce sirloin. It was very, very good. Was it the best sirloin I've ever had? No. But it's up there. It was very, very good. So there were plates that I thought were by far the best of that cut of steak I had ever had. And then there were things I thought were still very, very good and absolutely worth what I paid for them, but not the best ever. But overall quality was pretty phenomenal.
All right, and price-wise?
So price-wise, the menu is really not that far off from the Boathouse. It actually costs us similar, if not less, than some meals we've had at the Boathouse tonight. The Boathouse has similar giant steaks. That you split between multiple people, shared appetizers, things like that. And SDK has a smaller yet very similarly priced menu. And there's a lot of those kind of things. There are large steaks that they recommend for two or more people. There are sides to share, even though sharing them among eight people probably wasn't our best idea, although we did. We had one thing in a very small portion at the media party that we said, all right, tomorrow night when we come for real, we're going to get at least two of these. And it was a sweet corn pudding. And I don't know exactly what's in it, but it is exactly what the name states. It is a sweet corn pudding. It is warm. It's not a dessert type thing. It's a side. It serves warm in like a skillet. And it is one of the most phenomenal sides, if not the greatest side I've ever had in any restaurant. It is alone worth the trip, just this side dish. The macaroni
people are going to be going in and getting that side like they get the cheddar cheese soup at Canada and Epcot.
Yeah, pretty much. And also, it's on the lunch menu. Lunch hasn't debuted yet. It's going to debut on the 1st. And so with the lunch menu, I expect, you know, that there's going to be more affordable options as well. I know people are talking about price. And I actually, if you look at Twitter, I've actually kind of had a semi-argument with people because I made a statement that we spent, on average, about $100 a person this evening for the eight of us to eat. We had a fair amount of appetizers. We had drinks. There was plenty of alcohol. We had desserts. We had entrees. We had a fair amount of food at a what is considered a steakhouse, a high-end steakhouse. And I said, I think it's within reason, $100 for, again, appetizer, entree, dessert, and a drink, and aside for that matter, isn't really that ridiculous.
No.
And again, I think sometimes people forget we are, you know, we're covering this restaurant. We cover Walt Disney World. It is a tourist destination. It is, in a lot of ways, a you know, it's not something you do every day. Now, I understand people are saying, oh, Tom, you do it every day. And they do. But this is not a place you're going to go every day. But
right.
You know, typically, you go to a steakhouse for special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, things like that. And I don't recall many steakhouses, whether I was in New York or California or right here in Orlando, where it didn't cost me between $75 and $100 a person.
Well, no, and if
to
you
dine in a steakhouse,
and if you want a cheaper steakhouse, there are options off property, and also,
but they're going to cost you similar. Morton's is certainly within range,
right?
You know,
yeah. I mean, you think about Morton's. You think about like any of the headlining restaurants, like Napa Rose at Disneyland. That's going to cost you the same amount.
Well, I have a problem.
Yeah, no, I think the problem we continue to encounter is I think people are often a lot harder on these third-party restaurants, and I don't want to blame them because I personally love Rainforest Cafe, but I think it has taken people a long time to get over that third-party restaurants can, in fact, be really, really great, and I think The Landing has been a spectacular example of that. Morimoto, The Boathouse, and now STK, I think, are three of, if not the best restaurants on all of Walt Disney World property. Not to say Disney doesn't do great dining, because they do. There are plenty of Disney restaurants that I love and I think are phenomenal.
I'm also sick of trying to justify prices. If you're listening to us, we're reviewing restaurants as they pertain to Walt Disney World, and we're talking about it in that bubble, in that atmosphere. Even when we do talk prices, We're not necessarily even comparing it to places outside the property, even though sometimes we do. But you know, we're talking about prices that you're paying for places when you go to Walt Disney World.
We cover Walt Disney World, and in a lot of ways, we are mostly a source of information for people who go on vacation. And in my experience, you go on vacation. Vacation is something you do with your extra income. It's something you do with throwaway money. And we try to guide you as best as possible where you should be throwing that money when you're on vacation. I am not telling anybody they should not feed their family for a week to go to STK.
Yeah.
But if you are going to spend $100 a person on a meal on Walt Disney World, my job, as I take it, is to guide you as best I can to spend that $100 the best you can. And I think you will not be upset with spending your $100 at STK.
Nice.
It is a very fine dining establishment.
Now, help me out.
I will have to go a couple times more to decide if I think it's a better option than the Boathouse or not.
Because
I think the Boathouse is really great also.
Help me out here, Tom, because I'm concerned about the atmosphere. Some people may have the impression that I'm this like hip, cool young guy. And I'm really not. That much.
Oh, we're not either. We're not. And I have never been to a club really in my life.
So to help me
understand,
help me figure out what this place is, because I thought it was an upscale steakhouse, and it kind of is. But are they also trying to attract a younger crowd and wanting them to pay those prices, or like what
it
are they trying to do?
Upscale steakhouse with a lounge vibe, which is exactly what the website tells you.
Right.
That being said, I was worried it was more nightclub lounge based on the party we went to on Tuesday.
Okay, but it's not.
Which is a fair assessment, which the assessment most of the, what we'll call the Twitterverse, made, and us who were at the party, because we didn't get a real feel for the restaurant. And in fact, I contacted our media contact halfway through the party and said, this is really great, we're having a wonderful time, but our readers really want to know what the dining experience will be like, and I was pretty much told that'll be down the line. There will be a media opportunity to try more of the restaurant side of things. But last night was really just a
kickoff party.
Hey, come in and we're going to open.
Yeah.
And it's a party.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And STK very much still has a party vibe, even though it was a steakhouse. Again, it started quiet, but by the time we were leaving, the party vibe was picking up. But that means that people were still just sitting at their table having dinner, but it is not. And I can understand this. It is not Victoria. It is the opposite of Victoria and Albert's. Victoria and Albert's is the stuffiest restaurant. Not saying it's not fantastic food, because it is. Is the stuffiest restaurant on the face of the earth.
So
STK is trying to be a quality steakhouse, but at the same time, be fun.
So can I understand
there are people. I don't necessarily go for a party or club atmosphere. That's not my scene.
Yeah.
But I was never uncomfortable tonight, not nearly as uncomfortable as I have been in some of the retail stores that open in the town center, like Zara or Uggs or any of those.
Tom?
I did not at any point feel, you know, excluded for not enjoying a club atmosphere. I felt it was comfortable enough. Now, I might say something different if I had dined after 9 o'clock. And I might go back at some point just to see how it is at that time.
So you didn't stay to hear the volume go up and up and up and see how loud it gets before you were annoyed?
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see at what point in the evening is the volume too loud for me to enjoy a stay.
I want to bring a decibel reader. So, Tom, you say this place is hip, cool. Like, can I Snapchat my order to my waiter?
It's pretty jive, Nick. But here's, like, honestly... a number of people we've been with have also been to Boathouse. Their assessment was they enjoyed it more than their time at Boathouse. That being said, I've been to Boathouse probably a little more, and I really love Boathouse, so it's hard for me after one meal to say STK is better. At the very least, I can say with ease they're within the same league.
So
they're both very, very good restaurants that have phenomenal steak.
Were you live posting about your experience last night to your MySpace account?
Nick, I have some bad news for you.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know which is doing better right now, MySpace or Rivers of Light. I don't know which one is more functional.
All right. Tom got off a monologue joke. Tom Corliss, everyone. Thanks, Tom. Have fun with the rest of your evening.
Oh, am I being booted off now?
Yes. Hell yeah.
Yes, you are.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it, Tom. Tom Corliss, everyone. Yeah. There you go. He gets a little applause.
All right. Should we get back to the news?
I like him on the phone. I can just boot him out anytime I want, Jason.
Yeah.
Even I can continue. Yeah,
STK, I mean, STK sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to try it. You know, but if that's going for that really sort of hip club scene, I wonder what kind of other restaurants might remove vowels from their main entrees and call themselves that. Like, if you take Arista Crepes, remove all the vowels from the main course, it's CRP. Crep.
Ooh.
Maybe that's not a good idea.
Any other ones?
That's all I got,
That's all you got? All right.
That's all I got.
This works.
I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. All right. So anyway, let's see. Getting back to Tiffin's and Nomad Lounge dining packages, the full menu is on www.nt.com.
Looks good. Can't wait. I'll be going there on Saturday for the Jungle Book package.
Yes, that you will have to report back. That can be like What Did Nick Eat and the news all in one fell swoop with the Jungle Book show.
I'll be there with Tom. Maybe I'll Snapchat something from there. I just started a Snapchat. That's why I'm excited. I'm trying to figure it out.
And did you just start a MySpace too, or no?
Yeah, I signed up last week.
Oh, boy.
So
all right.
Find me on Snapchat, everyone. Nicholas Cicero, I think, is my name. I don't know. Something like that.
Maybe not.
I'll figure it out.
All righty. In other news, at Animal Kingdom, the Pangani Forest Exploration Trail gets a new name Friday, May 27th, along with everything else. It's going to be called Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. I don't know why.
Because the gorillas were slipping off the rocks.
Oh, man. Where's the rim shot?
I get one.
You got to do it for yourself there.
All right.
No major changes are expected other than the name.
Fall protection for gorillas.
There you go. All right.
Can I tell you a funny story about fall protection?
Oh, sure.
When Tom first told me that story that they were putting up fall protection on the buildings, I really shouldn't tell you this story because I mean, but my first thought was to protect against leaves during the fall months, is there some kind of weatherproofing? Are we going rogue
Like gutter guards.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, that's the way I went with that. No, for sure, prevent people from falling.
People falling.
It's how do you stop fall from coming?
Oh boy.
Honestly, I mean, I did. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good story.
I suppose.
It's good from my point of view, probably not from yours. All right, so also coming June 6th, the Image Works at Imagination Epcot is going to be opening as a Disney Vacation Club member lounge.
Oh, can't wait.
The second floor of the Imagination Pavilion at Epcot, although not all of the second floor, just part of it. The member entrance will be through the Image Works shop. And the lounge will house casual seating areas with complimentary beverages, including Coca-Cola freestyle machines. So I guess the Club Cool is going to be very sparse, since DVC members can get free Coke, and it will actually taste good. In addition, they'll have device charging stations, Wi-Fi, computer stations with printers and mounted tablets preset to easily access select Disney websites, including MyDisneyExperience.com, which will certainly be handy since the app never works for that. Member services advisors will be available in the lounge daily to assist with dining reservations, future resort stays, and of course, if you want to spend 25 grand or more points, they'll be glad to help you with that as well. And you'll also find displays of the latest member merchandise available in stores and online. So that is very exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm glad I know some DVCers.
That's got to be one of the coolest DVC perks of recent memory, actually. Yeah. June 21st, two new Frozen experiences open in Norway at Epcot. The Frozen Ever After attraction and the adjacent Royal Sommerhus.
I'm excited we finally got a date for this. I was a little bit worried that we'd go all summer even without seeing this. I was getting nervous.
It was you know, after, you know, Avatar and Rivers of Light being postponed, I thought, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if this gets postponed too, but thankfully it did it. So schedule your trips for after June 21st, everybody. Located in the Norway Pavilion, Frozen Ever After offers guests an adventurous boat tour through the Kingdom of Arendelle. Guests are first transported to the Summer Snow Day celebration, where Queen Elsa embraces her magical powers to create a beautiful winter and summer day for the entire kingdom. Next, guests will pass Troll Valley.
Yeah.
Was that in the movie, Troll Valley?
Of course it was. Well, I mean, there was a place where trolls hung out. It could have been the valley.
Okay. I didn't know that they called it Troll Valley.
I don't think they did, but, you know.
But it was kind of
things, yeah, it's one of those things that's implied.
I see. guests will pass Troll Valley on their way up the icy North Mountain to Queen Elsa's Ice Palace before their return trip to the Bay of Arendelle. And, of course, FastPass Plus will be available for Frozen Ever After, and booking opened on May 21st. So if you haven't booked it by now, they're probably all full. And nearby, the Royal Sommerhus, Anna and Elsa's summer home, will open its doors to guests, and the royal sisters themselves will be there for greeting opportunities. The requisite meet and greet. And the Norway Pavilion will now open at 9 a.m. starting on June 21st. Open at 9 a.m. just like Future World. How futuristic is that?
So just move that rope down one pavilion, I guess.
There you go. June 17th, a couple days earlier. So if you're going to Disney World, you know, the first week of June, you may get the Jungle Book you know, River Show.
Live, whatever it's called.
Jungle Book Awakened Summer thing.
Awaken the Book.
You know, but you're missing out on Frozen Ever After. You're going to be missing out. Well, you're going to get some Soarin'.
Some Soarin'.
But you're going to get the old Soarin'.
We're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So Soarin' Around the World debuts June 17th. Which is the day after its world premiere at Shanghai Disneyland, and as its name implies, it highlights landmarks from across the globe. But if you're going to be there before June 17th, never fear, because the original Soarin', the one that no one likes anymore, Or maybe the one that everyone likes and no one will like swimming around in the world. I guess it depends on how big of a fanboy you are. The original Soarin' will reopen this Friday, May 27th, for a limited engagement through June 16th.
Limited time magic.
That's what they should call it, yes. And Fast Pass is also available for the original Soarin', as well as the Soarin' around the world.
I loved limited time magic. Tom hated it.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a nice plus. It wasn't like something that you should have a whole marketing campaign around, but it was a fun little thing.
Fair enough.
Also June 17th, and I feel sorry for you if you're planning your trip for early June, because June 17th also starts Star Wars: A Galactic Spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The new nighttime show will be the most elaborate fireworks display in this park's history, and will begin nightly performances on June 17th. This elaborate show will combine fireworks, pyrotechnics, which apparently are something other than fireworks, special effects, and video projections. Maybe the pyrotechnics is the flamethrowers?
Yeah, explosions.
Like fire.
Missiles.
Video special effects and video projections that will turn the Chinese theater and other buildings into the twin suns of Tatooine, a field of battle droids, the trench of the Death Star, Starkiller Base, and other Star Wars destinations. And the show will feature music throughout the film franchise, and there will be a tower of fire and spotlight beams creating a massive lightsaber in the sky.
Oh, that's awesome.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah, that's going to be one heck of a show, for sure.
Yeah, a field of battle droids. That sounds awesome.
And the trench from the Death Star, I can just imagine that, like, the whole street, the buildings on the street are going to be like the sides of the trench, and you're going to be like in the trench,
no,
flowing down. I don't know, maybe. That would be my idea if I had to do it. You know, the projection mapping makes it look like you're flying through the trench.
Yeah.
Also on June 17th, Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair.
Yeah.
Brings to life beloved Disney stories, both classic and contemporary, in a spectacular performance featuring an original song, memorable music, lively dancing, delightful costumes, and special effects magic. Mickey and his troupe of merrymakers have invited friends from other lands to join them in a grand celebration. So in addition to Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Daisy, and Goofy, the show also brings together a wonderful cast of characters from Frozen, Tangled, and The Princess and the Frog. So this is replacing the Castle Stage Show.
Yeah, good.
You know, Castle Stage Shows are fine.
Castle Stage Shows. Love.
They're nice, but, you know, when they run their course, it's time for something new. And
it's interesting. Tom loves the 3 o'clock parade. I will take a good Castle Stage Show over a parade.
I'll take the nighttime parade over both of them.
The nighttime parade?
Like any nighttime parade.
Really, any given nighttime parade over any given stage show?
Well, Castle Stage Show, yes.
Castle Stage Show,
yeah. And over any given daytime parade, too, yes.
Huh.
Like, I would take Light Magic over Cinderella Bration.
Okay. I'm including holiday ones, so, like, you know. Hocus Pocus, whatever the Christmas one's called.
I mean, the Boo to You parade.
Boo to You, yeah.
Boo to You parade beats any... that's a holiday nighttime parade. Beats any daytime parade.
That's hard. I want to ask the chat. I want to throw this out there to the chat. What's your favorite? Castle Stage Show? I'm being very generic here. If you had to pick one category of stuff, Castle Stage Show, daytime parade, or nighttime parade? Listen.wdwnt.com. We have the chat going on there. I want to see what people are typing up in there. So we'll throw that out there. Then we'll check in on them later.
We will check in. So Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair. We'll see what happens with that.
All right.
As we mentioned in the opening monologue, the Muppets are getting their own restaurant at Hollywood Studios called the Pizza Rizzo. So Toy Story Pizza Planets nearly year-long closure at Disney Hollywood Studios is about to end in late 2016. How late, we don't know. WWNT speculated the Muppets might be taking over this long-standing fast food pizza joint, and now it's official. Once again, Tom was right.
Yeah, good job, Tom.
Opening in late 2016, Pizza Rizzo in the Muppets Courtyard at Disney's Hollywood Studios will continue to operate as a counter-service pizza restaurant, but guests will find an entirely new theme and better quality food. Well, it couldn't get much worse.
It really couldn't. I didn't hate it as much as some people say they do. But
I avoided that place.
Well, yeah, I'd avoid it. But...
Better new theme and better quality food when it reopens this holiday season. The new name was confirmed by internal documents and permits filed for the project. With the exact theme of the restaurant still unknown, it does make sense, as Rizzo and his rat family are from New York and work in food service in the classic movie The Muppets Take Manhattan. And, you know, it's too bad that a new Muppets TV show got canceled. Just imagine if they had themed the restaurant after that show.
Yeah. I'm sad, Jason. I loved the Muppets TV show. But mostly because I love the Muppets. I'm just afraid. I don't know where you stand on Muppets, but
I like the Muppets.
I love Muppets.
I like the Muppets. It's a real shame what Disney has done to the franchise.
You think it's Disney, or do you think it's generational? You think their humor, you think there was a certain generation that just held them in their hearts, and then it just died a little bit with each passing generation for some reason.
You know, I think if you go back, and like, I have all of the original Muppet TV shows on DVD.
Yeah.
You go back and watch them, and they are still funny.
Okay.
The comedy is funny. Muppet Vision 3D is a beloved attraction. The pre-show of that is one of the best pre-shows, and it's all classic Muppets. It's not like it's anything, it's not like it's anything themed to a different time frame than the classic Muppets. It's just, I think Disney has tried to do things with the Muppets that don't fit with the franchise. And I think the TV show, you know, as much as I would have liked a Muppets TV show to succeed, the TV show was not themed to the classic Muppets franchise.
Okay.
I think they tried to take it in a direction to make it more contemporary or, you know, fitting in with today's crowd, but that's not what people that like the Muppets wanted.
I was okay with it. I really liked the new touch on them. I liked kind of updating the Muppets, and I liked it was a different way of looking at them behind the scenes, because with the Muppet show, you always kind of saw them behind the scenes and doing their show, and this was them living in the real world, just in a very different way. And I kind of almost disagree with you in a way that I think that this was geared towards people who always liked the Muppets and wanted to see them grow up with them and have, well, maybe, you know what? Now that I'm saying this out loud, maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't want to see Kermit have these problems and issues of everyday life.
I certainly didn't.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I could see where a majority of people might not have. And I just feel like a generation or two from now, the Muppets could be, like, really no more. I mean, there's a point in time where you have to give up on them. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I think there. I had thought after the Muppets, the most recent Muppets movie and now the Muppets TV show, both doing rather poorly, I thought Disney was about to give up on them. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it could very well be that the only place the Muppets are going to continue to live is at the parks. That's probably the case. So in a way, I think Disney's kind of given up on them in TV and film.
By the way, Jason, in the chat, listen.wdwnt.com, I think people have your back. Nighttime Parade seems to be the favorite.
Yeah.
So people enjoying the nighttime parade over the castle stage shows or the daytime parade.
One person says, I've only seen part of Paint the Night, but it rocks. And I will agree, Paint the Night is my favorite nighttime parade ever.
I agree with you there.
That parade is spectacular. All right, let's try to get this news finished up because we're
longest news segment in the history of WDW News tonight. This is amazing.
Well, we got a lot of news, and then Tom called in and kept talking and talking until we got rid of him.
Talking,
man.
You know, he texted me angrily. I can't even read it on the air because he used some words I'd have to hit the dump button for.
Who's angry at Nick this week? Tom is. Well. So let's run through this. Do we need to take a commercial break or anything? Do we want to at least
let's get through these last couple stories. This is a fun one. I was at Hollywood Studios with Tom and Ashley and some other people. Tom's parents were there and everything. And I go to the bathroom. I come out of the restroom. We were in the Pixar Place area, and I come out of the bathroom and everybody's gone except for Tom's dad. And he's like, "Yeah, they took off that way, chasing after some green guys." I was like, "What?" And so I guess it was the debut or a test of this the Green Army
Men boot camp.
Yeah.
So that show has started right near where the new track of the ride exits, and the new show has one speaking Green Army man along with a troop of others recruiting younger guests to join the ranks. The full video of the show is at WDWNT.com.
Just an army dude yelling at you, and I already don't like that guy because on the Run Disney courses, they always have one of the Green Army men on one of the inclines, like the entrance ramps, you know, where you have to run up the hill after you already did like 13, 14 miles, and now you're going up the hill. And the army guy's at the top yelling at everybody to keep up the pace and move it. Hmm. So, don't like him.
No, and as I just mentioned, the third track at Toy Story Midway Mania has just opened. Full video walkthrough and photos at WWNT.com. The new track enters from the merge area where Standby and Fastpass merge, so cast members can direct you down a series of hallways to the third track or to the standard walkway up the stairs to the existing two tracks. The third track ride is actually very different. Guests come out in a very different iteration of Andy's room, much more like the Tokyo version, where the vehicles travel under Andy's bed, and the ride itself is pretty much the same, and then at the exit, guests exit down a hallway that looks like circus tents towards the area behind Pixar Place, which will eventually be Toy Story Land.
All right,
last news item. Lily Pulitzer and Trophy Room now open in Disney Springs. Lily Pulitzer is a bright, airy space featuring a treasure trove of playful prints.
Ooh.
And I can't get the alliteration for nothing here.
That was good.
Treasure trove of playful prints. Apparel and accessories done in the signature Lily style. Every nook of the boutique plays homage to its Palm Beach roots. Yay. And Trophy Room does not sell trophies. It sells sneakers and exclusive merchandise. Founded the first of its kind location founded by Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan, was inspired by the real-life Trophy Room of his father. Personal photos from the Jordan family collection and one-of-a-kind memorabilia is on display.
I'm excited to go check that out.
It sounds like it'll be something neat to look at, although I don't know whether I'd be shopping.
Nah, same here, but I'd like to see the stuff.
Yeah.
The news is brought to you by TeePublic. Don't forget to shop apparel and accessories for Disney fans through WDWNT.com and TeePublic. Just head over to our website and click the TeePublic link to shop from hundreds of designs for T-shirts, phone cases, prints, and more, including exclusive WDW News Today logo apparel and original creations such as the Hollywood Studios hard hats. And also, we have the California Bears celebrating the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown. Make the most of tonight's commercial breaks and head to WDWNT.com and start shopping by clicking the TeePublic link. TeePublic is an official partner of WDW News Tonight. When when we return on tonight's show, we're going to come back and let you know what Jason and I are mad about. We're angry about some things. We'll tell you what that is. We'll also, true the form of your opening, Jason, we may or may not have time for Flashback to the Future, Star Wars Weekends Edition. We'll let you know when we get back. You're listening to WDW News Tonight here on 1520 WBZW and also at listen.wdwnt.com.
Do you have enough drinking water at home or work for whatever life throws at you? This is Florida, and you can never have enough good, wholesome drinking water on hand for meetings, family gatherings, even Mother Nature's wrath. Be prepared with Carolina Highland Mountain Spring Water, delivered directly to your home or business. Call 407-851-7144 or online at carolinabottledwater.com. There are no delivery fees, no contracts, and now take advantage of their Be Prepared delivery special in individual bottles, dispensers, and coolers. The purest water delivered to your doorstep. Guaranteed. Get started now. Call 407-851-7144, 407-851-7144, or online at carolinabottledwater.com. Refreshing taste, unrivaled purity, the healthier choice for home or office. Carolina's Highland Mountain Spring Water. Call 407-851-7144, online at carolinabottledwater.com. Refresh today.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom get past this, but you must act right now. Call National Foreclosure Defense right now at 800-989-1838, 800-989-1838. Limited, so call right now. 800-989-1838, 800-989-1838. Call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now. 800-989-1838.
J.P. Morgan is now holding a record 55 million ounces of silver. Goldman Sachs and HSBC recently purchased 7.1 tons of physical gold. What do these fat cat bankers and mega money managers know that you don't? They're expecting another financial crisis, and over time, gold and silver win. Silver is trading below its production costs and is predicted to double by 2020. At Capital Gold Group, we offer gold and silver for direct delivery. Plus, our specialty is IRA rollovers for the ultimate in IRA security. Be one of the first 20 callers today to receive our free gold and silver buying guide. Capital Gold Group is A-plus rated with a Better Business Bureau. So call now and see what investing in gold and silver can do for you. Call now, 800-430-7568, 800-430-7568, 800-430-7568. That's 800-430-7568.
Welcome back to WDW News Tonight. Tom Corliss off tonight, but you have Nick and Jason here in the cockpit.
Woo-hoo!
Driving you home. I don't know if you drive. I mixed metaphors there, but anyway, we're here. We're here all night with you tonight. And coming up next hour, we have WDWNT The Math Game Redemption. Jason came up with some amazing math problems related to Disney. We are going to play that game for some prizes from Theme Park Connection in hour two, coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes from now. So get ready. Don't call right this second, because I won't be able to answer the phone right this second, but you call 407-774-8255 when we ask you to in a few minutes from now. But first,
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like Jane. It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Jason, they did it to me again.
Nick, are you angry about something?
I'm a little bit angry. I've calmed down since, but I'm a little bit angry when this happened. Very excited a couple weeks ago. The new edition of the park packs that the Disney store has. Up until now, they've just done pins. Well, they introduced a new one-time park pack called the Disneyland edition. It had all kinds of fun stuff commemorating Disneyland's opening day, and I was very excited for it, especially when I logged on that morning that it was made available. It was only $100. I was like, sure.
Yeah, and there were only 1,200 of them available.
Yeah, only 1,200.
So it was pretty limited, and $100 for, I mean, they weren't telling you at that point what you got in it.
That's true.
You know, $100 for something that's limited edition of 1,200 is, you know, so that's a pretty good deal.
So, Jason, I threw down my $100, and then I waited. And I saw Tom put out a tweet one day last week saying, "Ooh, I got my park pack. Look at all this cool stuff." I was like, "Oh, I bet mine's waiting for me when I get home." It wasn't. The next day, Jason was like, "Hey, I got my park pack today. It's really cool." And I was like, "Ooh, maybe it's waiting for me when I get home today." It wasn't. It didn't come the next day either. So I was like, "All right, it's time to contact DisneyStore.com. Everybody's getting one." Didn't get mine. I look at my order online, and it says, "Hey, Nick, you know, you ordered one, and it's not yet shipped. This is status." So I contact them again, and I say, "Why hasn't it shipped yet?" And they said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, but due to high guest demand, we were not able to fulfill your order." And I was like, "Well, what does that mean?"
Right, due to demand. Because there were a lot of people that ordered one.
I'm sure there is. But then why'd you sell it?
Including you. That's right.
And why do you still have my $100? And, you know, so I went back online to show them, you know, my order's number and status on, and they said and the order was changed to canceled, and they apparently then that day refunded my money. So not until I contacted them did they let me know I was canceled, or did they refund my money. After numerous emails and a phone call, they have yet to do anything other than keep apologizing and saying that, unfortunately, you know, we can't fulfill your order and stuff. They're not doing anything to make good on it. This isn't the first time. This won't be the last. The Disney Store it has a horrible history at competently selling limited edition products on their website. I've had this problem with numerous items before, and I've seen it happen over and over again to lots of people I know. And it's inexcusable, frankly, for the Disney Store to be this bad at fulfilling orders and not being able to follow through on these orders and things like this. And it was a horrible shame. They did, of course, refund my money eventually, and you know, and that was that. Luckily, I did find somebody who who had an extra one, and he helped me out. But we're running out of time here in the first hour. We're going to get to hour two when we're going to play the math game. We'll tell you how to get involved in that.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WBZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic, and more.
A service of Salem Media Group.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Texas and 10 other states are suing the Obama administration over its directive to U.S. public schools to let transgender students use the bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the new bathroom gender rules are not an interpretation of current federal law, but an effort by the Obama administration to bypass Congress and impose new law.
The Obama administration is creating new law outside the bounds of the Constitution, making the kind of changes only Congress can make.
Some states have vowed defiance since the Justice and Education Departments handed down the guidance. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, her staff twice rejected concerns from information management personnel that her email practices failed to meet federal requirements for record keeping. That's among the findings of a review by an inspector general. It finds that in one case, her staff director told the text that the matter was not to be discussed further. Clinton and several of her senior staff declined to be interviewed for the State Department investigation that led to today's report. Avigdor Lieberman has been appointed Israel's new defense minister by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Lieberman says the coalition government will provide security for Israel.
All of us, we have commitment, strong commitment to the peace, to the final status agreement to the understanding between us and our neighbors.
Lieberman succeeds Moshe Yalon, a former military chief of staff. Western Kansas survey crews are taking advantage of calm conditions to assess damage from multiple tornadoes that swept through two counties during a two-hour period last night. The twisters, which injured at least two people, were part of a series of storms that also pounded the plains with rain and hail. The National Weather Service's more storms could be on the horizon. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 145 points, the Nasdaq rose 34, the S&P advanced 14, oil at $49.77 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all know carrying a lot of credit card debt is a hassle. You're constantly managing multiple payments, and if you miss one, your interest rates may go up. Avant can help you take control by consolidating credit card debt with an unsecured personal loan. You'll make just one fixed payment a month. Simply go to avantoffer.com and check your rate. Checking your rate is risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. Complete your application in minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. For this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com and enter the promo code BORROW. That's AVANTOffer.com, promo code BORROW. Avantoffer.com, promo code BORROW. Loans made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. FICO is a registered trademark of Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for...
Starting WDW News tonight, hour two. We're going to play the math game, Redemption. The MIT dude over here came up with some actual math problems that I think logistically make a lot more sense than mine last week. So we're going to do that. You give us a call right now if you want to play, 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. Jason, you know, I was really... I don't know why I was so disappointed. I guess I was disappointed that they didn't... They didn't move to rectify the situation like they should and they usually do. And the fact that this happens over and over again, this is a reoccurring problem. And it's just, it really is inexcusable by the Disney store to always have these problems. And it's ridiculous to have that they can't keep track of inventory when something sells out. And look, it didn't even show sold up on the website hours after I bought it.
According to the website, it was available for hours and hours, which I was very surprised about. But apparently, it really wasn't available for hours and hours. It probably did sell out quickly.
Yeah.
And they just didn't keep the website up to date. And, you know, look, you buy concert tickets, you buy sports tickets, you buy limited edition stuff. There's 101 websites that will sell you limited edition stuff, and they all tell you when it's sold out.
Yeah.
And they don't take more orders than supplies they have to deliver. Can you imagine if, like, you bought a concert ticket and, you know, then you get to the venue and they're like, oh, sorry, we don't actually have you. Like, you go to the will call window, oh, sorry, we don't have your ticket. Because we sold too many. There was high demand. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. So it's absolutely inexcusable that they do this. A mistake once, fine, okay. Twice, fine, okay. They do this over and over and over and over again. It's like, you know, you honestly shouldn't even be angry because you should come to expect it. And that's a sad thing to say. You know, but that's the sad matter of the fact is that you pretty much are gambling every time you buy something because you don't know if you're going to get it or not.
Yeah, I mean, it was already a gamble because I was like, you know, paying $100 for something I didn't really know what it was. And I took the gamble and I was very, you know, at $100, I'm not sure if I told this here, but it was like $100, like, was a gimme. I was going to get it. $150, I would have had to think about it. I think 200, I don't think I would have took the gamble. I don't know if you had, like, kind of prices in your head
I would say, like, 150, I probably would have still bought it. 200, I definitely would not have bought two. So, I mean, the limit was two.
The limit was two.
I would not have bought two if it was $200. So, but lucky for you, I bought two.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jason. This is really cool. Tom tweeted, I don't think he put an article up, but he did tweet the photos of what was in it. So if you go to WDWNT on Twitter, he did tweet the photo. It's a beautiful box. It really, you know, sculpted Sleeping Beauty's castle.
Castle is amazing.
Some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Castle is amazing. And it'll be showing up on your doorstep in a couple days.
And I'm sorry I took up all the time. Were you angry about anything, or do you want to go on to the math game?
Did you want to talk about the news a little bit more? You got a couple bits of news that you wanted to talk about. Why don't you go ahead and do that quick while I get the math game ready to roll here?
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, I'm going to preview what's coming up next week, talk about a few things while Jason does that. Tom is going to get so upset because... it's ridiculous how popular the math game is. Like, we don't have this response for... I wish I could show you guys how fast these lines light up when we say we're playing the math game. I don't get it, especially after last week's debacle. These are our true fans, these people that are on hold right now. They have faith in us that we are going to actually redeem ourselves this week with WDWNT, the math game, redemption, because last week was just... Train Wreck City. So we appreciate the call tonight. Right now, I think we are full. We have all the lines lit up.
Wow.
So we'll be playing the math game in just a few moments. First, next week on the show, Tom is back. Question mark, question mark, question mark. I don't know why there's question marks on that. I believe...
His parents are still in town. So the reason... I mean, he was at STK tonight, but his parents are in town. So
that's
why he's not here tonight. And I know his parents are still in town next week. I'm trying to get him to bring them into the studio.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. If we have time later today, we're going to talk about what did Nikki, and we're going to talk about some brunch at the Trail's End. And in case we don't get to it, I'll give you the cliff notes. It was spectacular. But I went with Tom and his parents, and it was amazing. It was a fun breakfast. And I just have to say this. Tom's dad would not have done any better putting together the math game. I could tell by some conversations with him. But also next week, we're planning on playing WDWNT, The Pyramid. So we're going to do that next week as well. So it'll be a lot of fun. Of course, tonight, WW News Tonight is always brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, you can awaken summer. Yeah. Did you know you could awaken summer? I don't think we've talked enough about that today.
Apparently, it's been sleeping just like the Tree of Life.
It has. So take advantage of awaken summer before Rogue Autumn comes in a couple of months, because the prices will probably go up there. Save up to 30% on the rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most nights June 12th or August 25th, 2016, when you book by June 10th, 2016. Plus, you can get an exclusive awaken summer BB-8 graphic magic band when you upgrade to a room and theme park package. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit magicaltravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. All right, Jason, do we have the math game ready?
I'm ready.
You're
ready? I'm ready to go.
All right, here you go. It's everybody's favorite radio game show, WDWNT, The Math Game. And we're going to bring on our first contestant here. Our first contestant's name is Austin. Austin, good evening.
Hi.
Austin, where are you calling in from tonight?
New York City.
New York City. All right. Now, Austin, how long has it been since you've done, say, a math equation?
Probably a year.
A year? Not bad. Not far removed. All right. Very good. Very good. And you're familiar, I assume, with Walt Disney World? Some facts and figures,
yeah.
Maybe? All right. Very good. Did you hear the math game last week?
No.
Good. Good. All right. So you have no clue what you're in for, and even if you did listen last week, I think this will be totally different and better. So here we go. Here we go, Austin. I'm going to hand things over to Jason. He's an MIT graduate, so you know your facts are triple checked. The math is right. The equations are there. Jason's going to take us through WWNT, the math game.
All right, so here we go. We've got right. four different questions, and okay. you get to choose a park, Magic Kingdom, Epcot Studios, or Animal Kingdom. That's going to determine your math equation.
Did you say Hollywood Studios?
Yep, that's one of them.
Let's do that.
All right, here we go. So are you watching on YouTube on the video? Because I'm putting the equation up on the video. You're not?
No, I'm just on the phone.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, so you're going to want to write this down. And
might want some paper, pen.
Paper and a pencil. And so after I give you the equation, you're going to have 2 minutes to come up with an answer. And, okay. You know, you can look up numbers online or whatever.
You can use calculators.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
Yep, you can use calculators, you can call a friend, whatever you need to do. All right, so you chose Hollywood Studios, so your equation is D minus H plus S. D minus H plus S, and I'm going to tell you what D, H, and S represent, but that's your equation, D minus H plus S.
Okay.
D represents the actual length of the track of Great Movie Ride. All right?
Okay.
H is what Tom insists is the length of the Great Movie Ride track. And in one of those rare instances where Tom is wrong. Now, if you didn't listen last week, you're going to be at a bit of a disadvantage. So H is also the year that the park opened. All right, got that?
Yeah.
And then S is the maximum speed of Rock and Roller Coaster in miles per hour. And your 2 minutes will start now.
Now.
Cool.
So you've got D. I'll repeat these for your benefit. You've got D.
Is the track length in meters or feet?
Feet.
In feet.
That's amazing. So, Jason, are we saying that that we are in agreement that Tom was wrong last week?
Every resource that I have been able to locate,
yeah,
official Disney or not, has a number that's different than what Tom says.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, because I got a call from I guess somebody who did tours there, and like that's what they told him to tell people on the tours.
Yeah, so you would think, you would certainly think that you know that the tour guides are going to get this right.
By the way, everybody, if you're not on listen.wdwnt.com, you need to be. This is amazing. By the way, Austin, you have 1 minute left. Austin, 1 minute. And Jason found a chalkboard and chalk display that he's typing up the equation on. It's really cool.
Yep, so we've got this on the video. I was hoping that people that would call in would be on the video.
So we're playing the math game here on WW News tonight. Austin, coming up close, we got about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Do you need me to repeat anything or you're good?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Is the answer -3?
I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Oh, so close. Austin. I'm going to ask you, Austin, can you take us through the math? What numbers did you have? What was D?
I said 1926.
That's where he was wrong. He missed it. Just missed it. The correct answer is 1928. There. So then you had 1989 and 60 miles per hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the correct answer we were looking for was -1.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for playing, Austin. You can try again next week on the pyramid, but we appreciate you playing. Very, very close.
That was very close. He at least had the math right.
He did.
He didn't have the numbers right, but he had the math right, which is good.
All right. So we're going
to
bring out our next contestant on WDWNT, The Math Game Redemption. This is Georgia. Georgia calling in tonight. And Georgia, I know you've called in before. Where are you calling from?
Fullerton. In California.
Fullerton, California.
Fullerton, California. All right.
Not far from Disneyland.
Yeah.
Not far at all.
All right. And you probably heard how we're playing tonight. A little bit cleaner than last week's version of the math game. And this is a lot of fun. MIT guy came up with these, so you know it's quality equations here. I like to promote our credentials here, Jason.
So. Yes, thank you.
I think you heard how we're playing. So it looks like you need to pick one of the parks. Now, do we have Disneyland as a possibility, Jason?
No, we don't, because this is WDW news today, and I only made four equations. So so you've got Magic Kingdom, Epcot, or Animal Kingdom left to choose from. Your choice.
Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. All right. Your equation is m divided by k. Now, okay. Are you watching this on live on listen.wwnt.com where you can see the video?
Yes, but the chalkboard feed is not what's on the main window right now.
It's not? What is on the main window?
Okay, now it is.
Now it is. It's just a little
bit of a delay.
A little bit of a delay.
Okay, so M over K.
Yep. Now M. As soon as I get done telling you what M and K is, your 2 minutes will start. M is the length of the Splash Mountain ride in meters, rounded to the nearest whole number.
Okay.
And K is the number of active monorails at Walt Disney World. So there you go. Your 2 minutes starts.
Okay.
I like how you're having their convert to meters there.
Yes.
Pretty tricky.
So M is
an active monorails is the key. Active monorails at Walt Disney World.
Is that active as of today or total?
As of today.
Today. Okay.
All right, Splash Mountain length. That's a decent sized track there. Yes, because it's a very long ride, but
that's a long ride. I mean, that ride takes a lot of time. You know, you go on that ride. Like there was one point in time, you know, it was late at night and there wasn't crowded. I rode that ride like 3-4 times in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's an hour and a half to ride it 4 times in a row.
Wow. Yeah. This is like a 12-minute ride.
Plus, you know, the queue line and exiting and everything. It's a long ride.
Well,
any questions, Georgia?
Mostly trying to find out the length on you. I know it's around 11 minutes long, but you're looking for meters, not
minutes. Looking for meters, right. So how do you convert 11 minutes to meters is the question.
By figuring out the greatest velocity and a whole lot of stuff.
And those hills and the laughing place, you know, going to the laughing place, that speeds things up a bit. So it's very, no, you don't have to get that complicated. If you're trying to do that, you're way overthinking it.
Don't forget to subtract by the number of turtles that are splashing around.
And subtract one for every time a Brer Rabbit animatronic does not work.
And it does not include the queue space, just the track.
The track, the length of the track, yes.
Track, yeah.
What do we got, about a minute left, Nick?
We got just under a minute. Sorry, yep.
I can't find the track length at all.
Uh-oh. Huh.
Hmm. So earlier today when I was coming up with these, actually last night when I was coming up with these questions,
yeah,
I really just went to Google and I typed in splash mountain length.
And about 30 seconds left, Georgia.
Oh, man. Hopefully. 72. We'll go with 72.
72. Pretty close.
That's very close.
All right. So let's see. Let's see what you did here, Georgia. What did you have for the length of the track of Splash Mountain?
792.
Well, yeah. Okay. So how many monorails did you have?
11.
Yeah. There are 12 in operation right now.
12.
Yeah. Off by one.
Yep, they brought the 12th monorail back.
Yeah.
They brought it back? See, that's what I get for moving to the West Coast.
Yes.
Yeah, it was recent. It probably was in the past year.
Maybe the past year or so, yep.
Yeah. All right, well, sorry. So, man,
good try. You were close. Right there.
Well, we appreciate the call as always, Georgia. Thanks for calling. We're listening to WDW News tonight, and coming up in just a little while, we're going to bring on some WDWNT staff members. We're going to talk, continue our dining discussion. We're going to talk about resorts. We'll also have Flashback to the Future, Star Wars Weekends, maybe, and lots more coming up. But right now we're playing WDWNT. The Math Game, Redemption, and we got another caller on the line. We're going to bring on our old friend, Gabe. Gabe's calling in, wants to play the math game with us. How you doing, Gabe?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much, by the way, for the great care package that you guys sent.
You got a lot of stuff because, you know, I apologize. So thank you for telling me you received your package. We did bad. There were some packages from like Christmas that we found that hadn't been sent out, and it was shameful. It was shameful. We got them all sent out. We're caught up to shipping out prizes. So if you haven't received a prize, you think you deserve one, get in touch with us because they were all shipped out. And as Gabe says, he got his. So I think most of you probably should have gotten them by now. But Gabe had like a stack of like five games worth of prizes in there. I don't know. You got a whole bunch of stuff.
Like 3 years ago, there was Mickey and Goofy Explored the Universe of Energy. I remember like in the first 60-hour show.
So Gabe, yeah, good. So let's see if we can send you some more stuff from Theme Park Connection. We're playing the math game here, and you got two parks to choose from, Epcot or Animal Kingdom.
I will go with Epcot Center.
Epcot. All right. Here we go. So your equation, which should be on the screen shortly, your equation is E plus P plus C squared. E plus P plus C squared. That's your equation. And E is equal to the diameter of spaceship Earth in feet. P is equal to the number of panels on spaceship Earth. And C is equal to the number of countries in World Showcase. Your 2 minutes starts now.
Okay. He has his abacus working.
I hear his abacus clicking away there. So E equals diameter of spaceship Earth in feet. P is equal to the number of panels on spaceship Earth. You got to learn to type a little better here. And C equals the number of countries in World Showcase.
Once again, I am just amazed that this is actually a radio show. We're doing math on the air.
I'm amazed that people are calling in. They seem to love this show.
I told Tom. By the way, Gabe, 1 minute left. 1 minute. People love the math game. We don't have to struggle for callers. They call.
No, I think because people think, oh, I can do math. Mm. Right?
And so far, Austin and Georgia, really, really close. It was just...
They were very close. Yeah, people can do math. It's not like it's something that you can't... It's not like the price is right.
Let's real, Jason. Their computers can do the math. They can look up answers.
True.
No offense.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Coming down to the wire, we got about 20 seconds, Gabe.
I'm good.
You good? You got it?
Yeah.
What you got?
11,610.
I'm going to say...
Sorry, Gabe.
Let's see where we went wrong. What's the diameter of spaceship?
Probably Wikipedia.
It's okay. What's the diameter?
165 feet.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Number of panels?
11,324.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's not what I had.
Let's see. It says here under Wikipedia Spaceship Earth, number of tiles, 11,324.
Let's see. We throwing a flag on the play?
I don't know. Go ahead. What do you got for...
And 11 countries in World Showcase.
And 11 countries in World Showcase. So one of our esteemed panelists here is saying there's different numbers. You're reading the number of tiles.
Oh, panels. Oh, 960. It's the one right under it. Oh, okay.
Ah, tiles and panels.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So that's where you went wrong. But you were on the right track.
Yeah.
And you got the numbers, part of the numbers right, but you're not hurting for prizes from Theme Park Connection, Gabe. So we'll expect your call next week, and hopefully you'll get some more. But none for you tonight. Sorry.
Thanks for calling in, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Well, let's bring on our last contestant here to play WDWNT, the math game. His name is Caden, and how you doing tonight?
New Gabe 2K16.
That's correct. So what you got? You're gonna do some math with us tonight.
All right.
And we have the Animal Kingdom left as the category. So if that's okay with you.
I was counting on it.
Counting on it. You get some love it.
I get the rim shot.
Yeah, you get the rim shot.
Not often that a caller gets the rim shot.
Try to sneak in an Avatar joke, and you get the blue music. All right, here we go. We're gonna do the animal avatar, the Animal Kingdom equation. Take it away, Jason.
All right, so here's your equation. For Animal Kingdom, you've got D plus the square root of A times K.
Okay.
So it's D plus the square root of AK. All right. D is equal to the number of rides offering FastPass Plus in Animal Kingdom at the present time. A is the number of animals carved into the Tree of Life, rounded to the nearest 100. And K is the number of superstructures required in the building of Expedition Everest.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, I am good.
Okay, so your 2 minutes has started.
There you go.
D is the number of rides offering FastPass Plus in Animal Kingdom. The number of rides. A is equal to animals,
mm-hmm.
rounded to the nearest 100. And K is equal to this number of superstructures. In Expedition Everest.
Okay, so
10 plus square root of, what was it?
I'll tell you, I'm lost.
The number of rides offering FastPass Plus in Animal Kingdom.
Rides.
The number of rides offering FastPass Plus in Animal Kingdom.
You got about, let's see, you got about a minute left. Superstructures required in the building. What the heck?
Wait, so you said the number of animals is rounded to the nearest 100?
Yes.
Okay. And...
Oh, square root.
Yeah, see the square root in there. Don't forget the square root.
Oh, my God. Jason, what are you doing to people?
I mean, people were getting it pretty well. You know, it's the C 30, squared and F
seconds.
Wasn't
30 seconds, Caden.
30 seconds.
40 seconds. Oh, dang.
Yeah, dang indeed.
But I mean, calculators all have a square root button, so that's not too hard, right?
I suppose.
It's just another button.
Someone in our chat got it right. Not that, like our...
Our private chat.
Yeah, our private chat. Rides!
Rides.
I need an answer, Caden.
Oh, I don't have one. I couldn't find the actual thingy that are in it.
That's probably more of just like a knowledge thing that they talked about a lot when Everest opened. I don't know if that's...
You want to just throw out a number? See if for some reason you get it right?
40?
Jesus.
Well, that's what somebody put in the chat. It's close.
Wow. He got crazy
close.
I would
just like to say, I'm glad you didn't say that one of the numbers was the opening year of Avatar Land, because it's hard to deal with math involving infinity.
Oh!
I got the song!
Good job. Woo! Good job.
We might have to hire him for this show.
Next thing you know, he's going to make a budget joke, and he'll get the gong, too. So, Jason, take us through this one. So, D equals...
The number of rides offering FastPass Plus, the number of rides, and I stressed rides, which is 5.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, I just did things offering it. Oops.
Yep. The number of animals in the Tree of Life, it's somewhere in the 300s. So, you round that to 300. And the number of superstructures in Everest is 3. There's one for the mountain, one for the track, and one for the Yeti. So that, I don't know if it's out there on Wikipedia or not, but that's something that, like, Joe Rohde talked about, like, forever when Everest first opened. I mean, like, every interview he gave about Everest, he talked about how there's 3 independent structures built for that attraction. So there you go. That is... So 300 times 3 is 900, and the square root of 900 is 30. Plus 5 is 35. So that's your answer.
I, like, just figured that out. Like, after you said that, I decided I was going to figure it out, and I got 35.
All right. Well, Caden, we appreciate you playing tonight, and we appreciate the call, and, of course, call anytime to play a game here on WDWNT. And, I don't think we have any equations left, but we got one last person who wants to play WDWNT, the math game. His name's Tom. Tom, where are you calling in from tonight?
Well, calling in from bed right now, because I was awoken when someone tweeted at me that apparently math was being played on my show.
It certainly is.
I believe I had left very explicit instructions that there would be no math.
Well, there was not only math, Tom. We had some wonderful equations. We had some people that came very close to figuring out these answers tonight.
Did any of these questions have the things that were in that?
They were all accurate. No one at all in the chat had argued that any of our numbers were incorrect.
I'm going to guess that Nick had no part in the creation of this game.
None.
That's correct.
All done.
I just like that our listeners are like tattling on you, by the way. That's my favorite thing that people were tweeting at me like, hey, Nick's doing math. Nick's doing math.
I had no part. I was not doing math. In fact, I didn't even understand what was being typed. I'm reading D plus squirt equals AK. Are we talking about squirt from the Finding Nemo show? But apparently that's square root. So, I don't know.
So not only did we do math, we did square roots.
Wow.
And we had four contestants, and look, no one won any prizes tonight. Everybody got the answer wrong, but everybody was just, like, insanely close. So, Tom, when I said we were playing the math game again tonight, the phone board lit up like a Christmas tree.
There were that many people angry?
This is the most popular game on this radio show, and that's indisputable. The numbers speak for themselves on that one.
I don't know. I think people are just calling because they figure you did something wrong or lost the automatic simple prize.
That is possible. That is possible. Guess what we're gonna do in a little bit. We're gonna do Flashback to the Future Star Wars Weekends Edition. Oh wait,
that's
nope.
When I wrote that. So,
actually,
so Nick was not involved in that either, so it should be fine.
Actually, sorry, we're actually out of time. We'll have to push that off till next week.
Yep, again.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom, for calling in. Have a wonderful night listening to the last 20 minutes of the show.
No, I'm going to bed. I'm not listening.
All right. Good night, Mr. Corliss. It was fun. Fun talking to you. Fun playing the math game tonight. Tom will be back next week, hopefully, maybe. I don't know. We're playing WDWNT The Pyramid. And we'll give us some prizes from Theme Park Connection. Then, when we return here on WDW News tonight, we're going to continue our dining discussion. We're going to go into the resorts and talk about our favorite and least favorite counter and table service around the Walt Disney World Resort. You're listening to WDW News tonight on 1520 WBZW and at listen.wdwnt.com.
Hi, Bill Files here, GM of Salem Media Group Orlando. You've heard me talk about half-price tuition, a great new program we have where folks just like you can purchase tuition to the finest Christian schools in Central Florida at half price. No catch, no kidding. I want to share with you some comments from a listener who recently purchased tuition for her daughter. This listener called me, and once she found out that the program was for real, she and her husband decided to buy it. She said, "Before we hang up, I wanted to thank you and to share with you that my husband and I have been praying for a way to send our girl to Christian school. Your half-price tuition program has made that possible. Thank you." This is what it's all about. If you or someone you know could benefit from our half-price tuition program, I hope you'll give me a call, 407-618-1760, or visit our website, AmazingRadioDeals.com. Half-price tuition, another positive idea from Salem Media Group Orlando.
Schools like the Geneva School and Altamont Christian School are available right now. Go online to AmazingRadioDeals.com.
Well, one of the great things about Central Florida is our year-round warm weather, right? It gives us a chance to have a lot of year-round fun and recreation. But unfortunately, our terrific warm weather also gives the bugs of Central Florida a place to call home, too. Pests like ants, lice, fleas, bed bugs, palmetto bugs, and roaches are loving our warm temperatures just as much as we do. Well, when these pests make themselves at home, it's time to call Wayne and Terry at All Seasons Pest Control. All Seasons Pest is there in no time, ridding your home of those unwanted guests, the bugs I'm talking about. They're a locally owned small business too, voted best pest control company for 5 years in a row. No big and personal corporate enterprise here. All Seasons Pest knows all of the customers by name and is dedicated to providing that extra level of customer service. Don't let the ants and the fleas and the roaches get the better of you in your home. Call Wayne and Terry at All Seasons Pest Control, 407-886-0204. That's 407-886-0204, 407-886-0204.
You're listening to WDW News tonight. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Wednesday evening. And looks like Tom had his fill of SDK and the rest of Disney Springs. He's snuggled in his bed right now.
So that's what he does when he's not working late at night. He's sleeping.
Apparently.
If only we could all go to sleep at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
And notice how the math game didn't put him to sleep. It woke him up.
It woke him up, and it woke up our listeners enough to alert him of such goings on as well.
Very invigorating to do some math. It increases your brain power. All right. Isn't that correct? Like, did you learn that at MIT?
It's invigorating. Yes.
Yeah. Wakes you up. Does things.
Yep. Just like, it's like caffeine for the brain.
It is. All right.
So we are going to talk about dining.
Yes.
And any of you listeners who've been waiting like 4 weeks for this segment, thank you for thanks for your patience. We are finally going to get to it. We've got resort.
Just kidding. Good night, everybody. No, just kidding.
No, that's not funny anymore, Nick. We've got resort dining, and we've got a number of panelists from the WDWNT universe, including Dustin Foos.
Hey, what's up?
We've got Eric Lancey.
Hi, everybody.
And I think we've got Ron Deanna.
Hello.
I don't see him. But he's there. Hi, Ron. All right, so we are going to talk resort dining. We've got table service and counter service to cover. Let's see. So there's a lot to talk about here. What I want to do is this. I want to go around, and let's go around to everybody one at a time, because we're not going to get through every resort, and we're not going to get through all of counter service and table service. But let's go around one at a time, and we'll go around a couple times. But everybody give me, like, your one top table service and your bottom table service. And we'll do that one at a time, and then we'll do a round again where you can give us another one. So why don't we start off with Dustin? Dustin, what's your top resort table service restaurant?
Ooh, that is a tough choice. When you're looking at a lot of these restaurants, it's all about figuring out whether or not it fits within your dietary restrictions, but also if you can get a reservation. And what I focused on when making my list was how easy it was to really get this reservation. My pick for the top table service was actually the Captain's Grill at the Yacht Club. Really straightforward to get a reservation.
Yep.
Great food. Solid service as long as you're not within that 6 to 7 o'clock range. But that's with every restaurant.
Sure.
Realistically, you're right on epic piece of property. You can relax before, you can relax afterwards, and it's just a great experience all around.
Very good. Good pick. Yeah, Captain's Grill, I think, is very underrated. And certainly the ability to get a reservation there is a huge benefit, so... Good pick.
And all I like Eric. I like his justification because, like, when you're trying to sort these things out, I didn't even think about that. Like, the tiebreaker could be what you can actually get reservations easily for. That's pretty cool.
For sure, because everyone can say, you know, the best place that we want to be at is something like Ohana's, or you really want to get into, at the Boardwalk or at Caribbean Beach or all these different resorts that may have, like, a great... spot that you really want to get into. Best example is you look at something like the Animal Kingdom Lodge, where you can think of Boma, Gico, or even Sanaa, and you're like, okay, I really want to get there, and then you realize afterwards, well, maybe you can't get that reservation.
Yeah.
So it's all about setting your expectations and then also keeping up with the reservation tab, because you never know when certain reservations for these opportunistic reservations come up.
Yep, very true. All right, Eric.
For me, I looked at it a little differently, and I was trying to come at it from the point of, I think we can all agree that Disney has really homogenized their menus because they're trying to appeal to the masses. So when you're going with sort of mainstream... overall trying to please guests with dining, a lot of the menus on property are very safe, very conservative. And there's nothing wrong with being safe if you do it really well. And I'm going to stay at the Yacht and Beach Club. My go-to table service is Beaches and Cream. It's very safe, it's very basic, but it's also always very excellent. The service is fantastic. reservations may not be the easiest to get simply because it's a small space. So that's sort of by design. You can always walk up and get a seat at the counter, possibly an hour after you walk up. But the food is always outstanding. The atmosphere is great. Service is always 8+ on the scale. I always, when I think about a place that I really want to go, no matter what I'm in the mood for, I always think of Beaches and Cream.
That's a good pick. I like that pick. It's not something that people would think about when they're thinking about table service. But that's a good pick. All right, Ron. Ron's camera's broken for tonight, so we won't be able to see Ron, but let's hear from Ron.
Yeah, I think my favorite, if we're trying to keep the price reasonable for table service, I'm going to go with the Wave. I think it's different, but I think it's accessible. Everything I've ever had has been excellent for all across all three meals. The location's great. Great bar and access to other bars right nearby. Great transportation options right there. So I really think if I'm just going for a non-signature table service, it's going to probably be the Wave.
Good. Yeah, and that's a great option, especially when you're looking at the fact that it's within, you know, a 5-minute walk of the Magic Kingdom. And absolutely, if you don't want to be within the parks at that exact moment, getting that reservation at the Wave is actually fairly straightforward. It's one of the easiest reservations to get at the Contemporary.
Yep. All right, Nick, do you want to go next?
Sure. You know, my best table has always been Boma's at Animal Kingdom for a very long time now. I just find the if you want something a little bit different, I just find the choices in that buffet. I love buffets, and just the choices on that buffet are different. There's enough different options there, and like, I don't know, people look at it like there's a lot of like kind of weird exotic or spicy things, or you know, different spiced items on there. I brought my mom a couple times, and she does not like weird foods, and sometimes I think people have a misconception about Boma. There's a lot of stuff on that buffet, I think, for everybody of every different taste, and that's kind of why I like it, and that's why I kind of go there with big groups of people, because I know everybody can find a few things at the buffet that they're going to like, whether your tastes are a little bit more exotic or a little bit more plain.
Yep, I take my wife and kids there, and they're both the same way, but there's plenty of food at Boma that's, you know, if you're willing to try something that maybe you haven't had before, mm-hmm. You're going to find something you like that is a little bit different, but not spicy or anything.
No, and I like to do it at a buffet because then you're not stuck with a big entree of stuff, right, if you don't like it.
Very true.
It's a good place to go try stuff.
It's very exotic. True. It's exotic and different, but in a very sort of hip and cool way, yeah, where it really is. It's somewhere that is, if you are taking someone for the first time, and it's like, don't worry, you're going to like something there, even if you have more of a sort of a soft palate, you're going to find something that you like there, and you're going to find something on the buffet that you thought you might not enjoy, but you, yep, absolutely are going to like it. It's a fantastic option.
Exactly.
And it's at a great resort, because inevitably, yes, you're then going to go onto the Savannah deck just, mm-hmm, to walk around for a little while.
Yep. All right, so I will go next, and Ron took mine. I was going to go with the Wave. One of my criteria was it has to have a great breakfast and a great dinner for table service. So the Wave was my number one pick, but my backup pick is Kona Cafe. Kona Cafe has a phenomenal breakfast with the Tonga Toast. You can't go wrong at any time. Even if you order Tonga Toast for dinner like we did once. But the dinner's fantastic, too. I mean, they've got some seafood entrees. I really, most of the time I will order their tuna entree. And, I mean, the chef there knows how to prepare tuna. So that's a spectacular entree that I will get there almost every time. So it was close for me between Kona and Wave. And thanks, Ron, for taking Wave. So I came up with Kona. All right, so that rounds out our top. Now we've got to talk about the bottom ones, the ones that people should stay away from. You know, just a quick explanation as to why you want people to stay away. But what's your resort table service restaurant that you're going to recommend people stay away from, Dustin?
All right, so I am going to get nothing but hate mail for this one. I'm going to suggest the Whispering Canyon Cafe at the Wilderness Lodge. And the main reason for this, so when you're looking at restaurants at the resorts, you have to be able to have been there to share your opinion, and I have photos to prove it. Everything at that restaurant has been toned down. And it was really unfortunate to hear the wait staff talk about what they couldn't do anymore. Various things like the ketchup routine or just a number of things that you can find online that you weren't able to actually do because of safety issues or guests have overdone it. But for me, looking at it, the food was really unappetizing. I got the skillet with the bottomless shakes, and I thought it was going to be awesome. I really did. We went there specifically for the bottomless shakes. And you could get better shakes at a number of places around the property, including Beaches and Cream. So if we're looking at spending the amount of money that you have to at that experience, especially when you're looking at a $30 price tag just for the skillet alone, it just wasn't all that appetizing. So that's why it kind of goes into my, not the overall worst, but it's one of those things that you definitely have to kind of search the photos and talk to people, go onto the review sites and really see if it's something that looks appetizing for you.
All right. Interesting choice, but yeah, you might get some hate mail for that. Eric, what do you think?
I don't know if I will get hate mail for this, but when I think about when I said what my favorite was and that you can do safe if it's excellent, you can also do safe and it not be good at all. And I think that is completely and entirely represented at Chef Mickey's. Chef Mickey's is every negative thing you've ever heard about food on a cruise ship. It really, it's beyond safe. The menu hasn't changed at all in at least 10 years. It's hard to describe because the price point, if you're talking about value, it's one of the five most expensive reservations on property, and you are getting the most basic food, and it's sometimes not at good temperatures, not at good appearance, and it's just, it reminds me of food that you would, if you haven't been on a cruise, imagine every horror story you've heard about cruise ship buffets, and that is Chef Mickey's.
Yep.
And that to me is why I pick it as my least favorite resort table service.
That was, you know, I was going to pick Chef Mickey's, and we went there for breakfast the last trip, and I had stayed away from Chef Mickey's for years and years, probably since 2003. But last trip, we went with my sister and she wanted to go. So I'm like, all right, fine. So we went to Chef Mickey's for breakfast. That was probably the biggest mistake of the entire trip. It's really expensive. The food is so poor. I guarantee that, you will come and I have two kids and the kids liked it, but kids are going to like character meals no matter where you go. So you might as well pick a character meal that's decent. With Chef Mickey's, I guarantee that you're going to come out of Chef Mickey's and you're going to say, wow, I wish I didn't spend all that money for that poor of a meal.
Yeah, and that was breakfast. We went for dinner, and it's the exact same thing. You're looking at mass-produced stuff.
It's terrible. It's worse than Crystal Palace.
And that's the comparison. You're going to go to a character dining experience, and you're going to be like, okay, do I want to go to Chef Mickey's where you can't get a reservation, or do you go to Crystal Palace where it's easier to get that reservation, but the food is going to be a little bit better because you're in the park? The issue that we had with Crystal Palace was that the dinner service was just lackluster in taste, but the dessert trays were completely empty. So by the time you get up there and you're like, this is going to be awesome, you can't even have dessert because it's already been picked over.
That's poor.
So, that could be because dinner, of course, at Crystal Palace begins at 11 a.m. So if you had your dinner at, say, 5 or 5:30 p.m., dessert may have been gone for the evening.
But there's no excuse for that.
I was talking about Chef Mickey's, where you would go up at 6 o'clock, 6:30.
There's still no excuse. No matter where, there's no excuse for that. All right, Ron, what do you got?
It's hard to pick something that I'm going to call really, really bad, but I think for the money and for the other options in its class, I'm going to say Yachtsman. I really didn't have the best meal last time I went to Yachtsman. Partially, it's just the way I like my steak. I ordered it the way it's supposed to be on the menu, and it just comes dripping in sauce, which isn't, it just hides the steak, which, I couldn't even taste how the meat was. So I think if you're going to spend the money for the steakhouse, you've got better options. Like, Shula's right across the way, so...
Or STK now, it sounds like.
Yeah, and Boathouse, just go into Le Cellier, right around the corner. I mean, there's just so many better steak. Every signature has a good steak. So that's what I'm just saying. I think Yachtsman is a little overrated for its price compared to the others. That's why I think it's going to be my avoid.
All right, Nick,
all right.
Why don't you round us out here, because we are running out of time.
We are. I'm going to do mine, then we're going to take the counter service into the post-game show at listen.wdwnt.com. But I'm going with Chef Mickey's as well, honestly, guys, and for another reason that I don't think anybody brought up, the atmosphere there. It felt like a McDonald's play area. Like, it's just, it's loud, it's obnoxious, it's just crazy.
And you've got people with dirty napkins with chunks of food flinging it at you.
Don't get me started. That is the most disgusting ritual
ever. I can't believe that they do things like not let the cast members at Whispering Canyon do fun stuff. They let people fling around food on their napkins. It's terrible.
All right, so next week on WDW News Tonight, we're going to play WDWNT The Pyramid Game. So get ready for that. Win some prizes from Theme Park Connection. We'll also do Flashback to the Future, Star Wars Weekends edition. We'll do that next week when Tom Corliss returns in the monologue. We'll have funny jokes once again. Jason, it's been wonderful doing the show with you tonight. Go to WDWNT.com for more information. Flip over if you're listening on 1520 AM. Go over to listen.wdwnt for our post-show wrap up, where we're going to continue our dining discussion there for a few more minutes. Jason, anything else?
Nothing from me. Take it away.
Oh, you don't have a special phrase that Tom always has at the end?
Oh yeah, you want that special phrase? Yeah, okay.
Special phrase.
And remember, kids, thank the Phoenicians.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WPZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic, and more.
And we're back with the post-game show here at WDW News Tonight. We promised you we'd get to the dining resort discussion here. We got the table service done during the course of the show. Very good. Very good work, everybody.
This has been a month-long project.
Oh, my Lord. Tom thought we were going to do all this in one show. It took us, like, what, 6 shows?
Yeah.
Plus going into overtime on most of them.
And we're
still not done.
Last week, I think that's why some of the staff didn't show up tonight. They were like, no, we got other plans, because last week you held us there for an hour and never talked to us.
We apologize. That's Tom's fault. I told Tom after last week, I'm like, I am going to control the flow of the show much better, which includes hanging up on Tom when he's calling in, because we just don't have that much time.
Exactly. He wanted to go on and on.
He did. He would have kept talking for another 20 minutes. That's why we had to get rid of him. We got to keep the show moving. We got to schedule.
So here we go. Let's continue our dining discussion.
Dining discussion. All right, let's do resort counter service, your favorite, Dustin.
Ooh, all right, let's see here. So the tough thing with counter service is that it really depends on what you're in the mood for right then and there. Because all the resorts have their own basic food court. You know, you're going to go in, you're going to get, create your own burger, create your own pasta, and those types of things are great. But I look at the hidden gems. Is it the fact that you can go to the Sasagula Floatworks and get the beignets at Port Orleans? That's a big thing. If you go to Pop Century, you can get the tie-dye cheesecake. There's a lot of those in resort things that are very special. But I look at the fact that when you go to a lot of these resorts, you want to get good food. And really good food last time, and I'm going to stick with the contemporary, was the Contempo Cafe. And I was shocked when we showed up and I saw the menu. It was great value, great food. The staff that they had there, literally on point. I swear that it's one of those restaurants where they're training for the table service at Chef Mickey's or something, because all of those cast members were absolutely on point. The food was great, fresh, and there was a lot of hidden gems at that location that you may not be able to get anywhere else, which, you know, that just takes a little bit of exploration to really go and explore. They have the beef pot roast, which is just brilliant. And they also had a really solid, what was the, their Contempo vegetable salad was literally every single vegetable in the entire restaurant put into one salad. And when you're looking at options for food, putting on a price tag of $10.29 for the veggie salad or, you know, $12 for the beef pot roast, really good stuff.
Good choice. Good choice.
Yeah, Eric. I love that place. Never disappointed.
And 5 minutes away from the Magic Kingdom. So once again, instead of going to a park that is absolutely just begging for more food options, at this point in time, knowing that the Contempo Cafe is there for something that's really straightforward for pricing, or hopping on the monorail and heading over to the Poly for Captain Cook's, lots of options.
Yep. Eric.
For me, as soon as I thought about which counter service options were sort of on the list, I immediately went to the Mara at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Another one I was thinking of, yep.
It is just, you talk about having a taste for everyone. First of all, the food always seems to be made somewhat fresh. They really aren't utilizing heat lamps. It looks like there's a constant movement of product. And you have your burgers, your fries, your chicken tenders, things like that. But Dustin was just talking about hidden gems, and I don't know how hidden it is at the Mara because they're prominently displayed, but things like the African stew, they typically have one of the soups being served at Boma is an option as a soup at the Mara. They have hand-carved turkey sandwiches, and what I like about the Mara is that as opposed to just getting chips or French fries as a side, they offer couscous, and I love it. I think it's outstanding. They have great breakfast options. The lunch and dinner menus are about the same, and if you don't get a chance to go to Boma or you just want an extra serving, they do sell Zebra Domes in their cooler. Aww. And I tend to think that Zebra Domes, as far as desserts go, are slightly overrated, but I know how popular they are. And you can get a package of, I think, 3 or 4 in a small plastic clamshell container.
Yep. But
if you didn't get a chance to go to Boma or you just want some extra Zebra Domes, it's available as well. So for me,
and it's not super expensive. I think you get 4 for like $6 or something.
Yeah, it's everything on the menu, everything at the restaurant is reasonably priced. And to me, that just adds to the value. It really does.
Yep, good pick. Ron.
This one's really tough for me because I rarely do the counter service at the resorts. Usually it's early morning, just grab and go, or late at night after I get back from a park that closes, you know, at a reasonable time. So I really don't eat that many meals there, but I'm going to say one I have gone to in the last few years was Landscape of Flavors.
Yep, another one I was thinking of.
And I did the, I think it was the Reuben Burger or something like that, I don't remember.
Oh, good choice.
And my wife did the shrimp pasta, which for a counter service shrimp pasta was excellent. And it does have just this wide variety of foods, but they're still simple foods that I think are accessible to everybody, almost every item on that menu. It doesn't go too far out to alienate anybody, and that's what's needed at those resorts. I mean, most of the food courts have all been good. I mean, if you at least just want basic stuff, they're always there. So
yeah.
It's really tough to pick things that have something that stands out, and that's what I think, you know, those newer options you're getting.
Yeah, I think, like, the All-Star food courts used to be pretty poor, but since they've been remodeled a couple of years ago, they're even decent now. So, you know, it used to be that the food courts were kind of, oh, I really have to go there, but they're all decent. And the landscape, you know, their adventurous kind of burgers are really, they're at least they're doing something different than everywhere else.
And to Ron's point and to Jason's point, I think it's the Landscape of Flavors that essentially made other counter service restaurants at the resorts step up their game. Because finding quality counter service at the resorts prior to the opening of Art of Animation was really, really hit or miss.
I think everything pop was pretty good. And, I think everything pop was the best of them. And then Landscape took it up a notch from there even.
And as everything has been refurbished, it has come back online substantially stronger than it was before it went down for a refurb. So I think that you're seeing that across property. You are seeing every restaurant, every food court step up substantially.
Yep, and I think Landscape with their, their sort of out of crazy burgers. Was that the first place that had like weird burgers that now like all the counter service restaurants that serve burgers have like some signature sort of burger topping?
I think
the steak and egg was the first one, I believe.
There were some of the table service restaurants had them beforehand because like doesn't like the picnic burger go back years?
Yeah, there might have been a couple, but I think Landscape was the first counter service that did it. As far as I can remember, I might be wrong, but it was among the first anyway. Nick, what do you think for counter service?
I have a feeling people are going to disagree with me because I don't hear people liking this place that much as I do anyway. Captain Cook's at the Polynesian. And recently, like in the past couple of years, I think this happened when they kind of remodeled over there. They got a menu and they really upped their menu. I always liked that place because it was always a good place for especially a snack of some kind. I've always been into their pulled pork nachos. But they're the greatest thing in the world. I have to have them every time I go over there. Sometimes I have cravings when I'm over at the Magic Kingdom. I'll leave early to go get pulled pork nachos before I leave for the night. I love them. They're so good. They're on these, like, I don't even know what kind of chips they are. They're whatever they are. It is fantastic. But their whole menu is really good. They have, like, I think it's like coconut curry meatballs or something like that.
Yep,
those are delicious. The pulled pork sandwich is pretty good. I'll take that over anything from Flame Tree any day. They have blackened fish tacos that are good. A few other things on the menu that are just really good. That place just has so many different options, and I really thoroughly enjoy it. And then for breakfast, I mean, that's where you get your Tonga toast and stuff, and it's a great little breakfast spot. And if you don't want to go up to, like, the Kona Cafe, which I'd actually prefer, but if I'm just looking for counter service, run down there, get some breakfast before heading over to Magic Kingdom or whatever else I'm doing. So no matter what time of the day, I could find a ton of things on that menu that I just love. And I wish the pulled pork nachos were available for breakfast.
Oh, boy. All right, well, let's see. So we've covered the counter service at the Contemporary and the Polynesian, but we haven't hit the counter service at the Grand Floridian. So I am going to go with Gasparilla Island Grill. So Gasparilla Grill was one of my favorite counter service restaurants before the remodel. That happened, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago. So it was pretty high quality back then, and it was always one of those that we'd take a monorail ride from the Magic Kingdom. But since the remodel, their menu's been expanded. They used to do flatbreads that were really good. They still got a bunch of flatbreads. But most things on the menu there are very good. You know, it's high quality, just like in Tempo. It's high quality, made to order stuff at a reasonable price point. And I think, you know, you've got Gasparilla, you've got Captain Cook's, and you've got Contempo, and they're all really in the same league. You know, you could ride the monorail and get off at any one of the resorts and stop for lunch, and I think you'll be happy.
Do people generally like Captain Cook's? Like, I never get a good read for stuff like that. Do people scoff at that one?
I think Captain Cook's was pretty good. I mean, I think people liked it when they had the Dole Whip sort of all-you-can-eat machine.
Yeah.
which didn't last for too long. Captain Cook's is kind of, I don't know, I've always seen it as almost like an afterthought. Like, it was always tucked way back into the back corner back there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Gasparilla is a pretty big space open out onto the sort of courtyard area, and Contempo is obviously right on the fourth floor. Captain Cook's was always kind of, like, hard to find, and it seemed small, you know, but I think with the refurbishment, and it's better, and I think the food is better, you know, so it's, I don't know if it would be my first choice, but I think it keeps up with Gasparilla and Contempo in terms of the quality.
See, and it was going to be, if not my least favorite, my second least favorite.
people do stop it. I know.
I had one of the most awful experiences at Captain Cook's. I wanted that big Kahuna sandwich or whatever it's called, and all I asked for was to have it without cheese. The cast member took my payment or whatever, and I go up to the counter, and they bring it, and I said, oh, this wasn't supposed to have cheese, thinking that they'd say, oh, we're sorry, we'll go ahead and fix that. And they said, there's nothing we can do. That comes packaged from an outside company. And that sent me through the roof, that the second most expensive resort on property and, like, your most prominent sandwich that isn't a burger is prepackaged from an outside vendor. And there was absolutely nothing that they could do. There wasn't anything that they could do. And when I said to them, I said, I'm simply asking for it to not have cheese because I have a dairy allergy. All of a sudden, it was like they had to put me into quarantine. They wouldn't let me order anything off of the menu if I wasn't ordering from the dietary restriction binder, which I understand that, but all I asked for was a sandwich without cheese. And, I mean, it was, and I really was. I mean, you know, to hear that it was my wife wanted fruit instead of fries, and it was, we had to pay a $4 charge because we had to get fruit out of a cooler. And it just, it's things like that, that when you're talking about, you know, one of the signature resorts, one of the opening day resorts that is a deluxe, I just feel like there should be sort of a better service. And it's not that the food is bad. My feeling on it is more the service and the presentation more than it is the quality of the food that they're putting out.
Yeah, yeah, your experience really sounds like it was an issue with the cast members. Certainly they could have handled that a lot better.
Yeah, it was right up to the – I spoke with the kitchen manager who really – and it ended up – they sent me out to the front desk to speak to the hotel manager, and the hotel manager ended up comping our dinner at the Magic Kingdom that night and giving us extra fast passes, which really seemed silly to me as opposed to giving us, like, fruit for $4.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
At the Magic Kingdom. So, I mean, that was really wise on the part of the staff at the Polynesian. I mean, it's things like that. Like I said, it's not so much the food that's a problem, and hopefully my worst counter service isn't taken, because my real pick is all about the food. At Captain Cook's, it's more about the service and the presentation than it is anything.
Is Cook's still open extra late? I remember it used to be the only one that was open till either 2 or all night sometimes.
I think Gasparilla's open all night now.
Both are. Both Gasparilla's and Captain Cook's.
Only sometimes. Because I know I'm used to it being open very late. At least a few times I went within the past year, I was surprised that they were actually closed as early as they were. So a couple times I don't know what the deal is or what the rhyme or reason to it was, but I think for the most part they are open extra late, but I don't know why they were closed early sometimes.
They're certainly open later than the monorail coming back from the Magic Kingdom to say the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian, which is always fun. Mm.
Yep. All right. So that was it. We got everybody's favorites. Did we get everybody? Am I missing anybody?
I think we got them.
All right. What are you going to recommend people stay away from, Dustin?
All right. So I have two answers. The first one is more of a generic answer, and that is staying away from all counter service breakfast options, because I believe when you're thinking about being in the parks, it's about going and exploring. Spending that time at any of the breakfast areas, especially if you're staying at Pop or at the All-Stars, which a lot of people do because you want to spend so much more time in the parks, to spend that $7 on a breakfast sandwich or $10 on a bounty platter where you can go and do that in the parks, for me is just a waste of money. If you're going to have breakfast, do something like the Amazon shop and have them send your resort granola bars or something like that, so that way you can have a bigger experience within the parks. What we learned to do with the breakfast was actually one of our, if you're on the dining plan, you just take one of your desserts and have it be a fruit bowl. And then the next morning you have a fruit bowl for breakfast. So that way you don't have to worry about this $8 or $10 extra on breakfast. Now, if we are talking about overall counter service within the resorts, I have to go with Everything Pop. Yes, it is solid when it comes to the options, but I think it's more about the fact that when you're in there for lunch or dinner, you still feel like herded cattle. And they haven't done a good enough job to really focus on the guest flow and the guest interactions with the cast members as well as the food. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing when it comes to counter service, is you have to have the food match the experience. And a lot of people who are at Pop or the All-Stars or one of the value resorts, they're there to get into the parks as quick as possible. And then when they're back, they're there to do a quick change, then head back. So I think I fall into the line of, with Everything Pop, it just never really sits well for me when it comes to the quality of the food.
You know, I'd have to actually agree with you, and as much as I hate to, you know, when Pop Century opened in 2003, 2004 time frame, I mean, they had absolutely the best food court of any value resort. But, you know, every other value resort has now eclipsed Everything Pop, and I don't think they've caught up. I really tend to agree with you that, you know, as much as I hated the All-Star food courts, they've gotten much better since the refurb, and Everything Pop is kind of now at the bottom of the pack where it used to be at the top of the pack. That was the one I was going to go with too, and I think, I mean, you know, it's time for Everything Pop to step it up now. But I kind of think. I was thinking about what you said about breakfast and breakfast at the resorts, especially the value resorts. I mean, you make a very strong point that, you know, if you've got a family and you're all going to go in there and spend, $10 a person for a quick breakfast, when you're saying the value resorts and you're trying to, keep the resorts to like $129 a night or whatever, and then you're spending $40 for breakfast for something that, you know, really is not anything memorable, and it's barely, you know, it's, you're just doing it because you have to. You know, that's a really valid point, and I was also then thinking, well, yeah, but I don't want to go to the parks and waste my park time for breakfast either.
And that's the issue when you're trying to figure out, you know, how do you have that energy first thing in the morning?
Yeah.
Where what we found was that if you do focus on planning things out, for us, we love doing the Walmart.com and Amazon where they can send it directly to your resort before you arrive.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You can get Pop-Tarts sent to you. And then you just stop in at the Everything Pop before you go to the parks, and then all of a sudden you have a toaster, you have everything that you want right there. The other thing is actually getting up early enough to go over and get the free drink, because everyone who stays there, when you are on the dining plan or such, you can get that the mug.
You get the mug, so
use it to your fullest advantage before you leave for the parks. But that's my big negative when it comes to especially the value resorts, is the fact that they haven't figured out how to do that morning rush really well.
I have to agree. I mean, you know, when before we joined DVC, we would pretty much we would stay at a moderate resort, specifically because they had refrigerators when the values didn't have refrigerators. Now you can get them. But we would stay at a moderate resort, and we would get like bagels and cream cheese or milk and cereal and eat it in the room, because it's something that you can do while, you know, take turns in the bathroom and people are getting ready, and you just eat quick. I mean, that's all you want, is you want to eat quick and get out of there to get to the park, and you don't want to spend a lot of time, and you don't want to spend a lot of money.
That's one of the big issues when it comes to this discussion is, you know, everyone has their favorite, but there are some really interesting little hidden gems that a lot of people who have been to the parks numerous times and don't want to, you know, leave as much at the parks. You want to, you know, still have some fun. So I look at things like when you're going to the studio, stopping in at the gas station, the Hess gas station, which is right there beside the Speedway. Swan and Dolphin. Those types of things.
It used to be Hess.
Yeah, Speedway now. But you can still get two hot dogs for $2. So you look at things like that where you can still get the great Disney experience because they've done it so well, but there are issues that, you know, maybe you can do a better job pre-planning and knowing all these hidden ins and abouts.
Yep. All right. Who else? Who hasn't gone yet? Nick, all right.
Yeah, I think it's, I really wanted to go with Pop because, but you know, everybody kind of bashed on that one. It really is. It probably is the worst. I mean, like, there's just, I don't think there's anything, any redeeming qualities at that resort for the food service there. But I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here because there was a place that I thought should be better than it is. And the few times I've eaten there, mostly because I was either there for an event or something like that. I know it was like maybe Pin Trading or Vinylmation or something like that. I was at the Coronado and the Pepper Market. And it seems like it should be good. Like, it has all these different stations and the hamburger stations and interesting hamburgers and tacos and things like that. But I've probably ate there about 3 or 4 times. Kind of out of necessity. I was there, so that's why even after I had a bed. But nothing was ever that good. Like, it was okay. Like, it was edible. It wasn't, like, bad. But it was, like, it seems like with all those choices, I was always very excited to try something there.
Yeah, it's such a neat concept with the stations and stuff. And,
yeah.
And you kind of have that expectation. Plus, you're at a moderate resort. And
yeah.
You know, when you come down to it, like, Landscape is better than Pepper Market. And
I think so, yeah.
You're right.
I was never like, wow, this is good. I'll come out of my way to come back here.
Yeah.
Like I said, after I tried it twice and was like, okay, this is nothing special, you know, I kind of ate there out of necessity a couple more times.
Yep, very good. All right, Ron.
I'm going to say pretty much any of the all-star food courts might be my definition of hell. The food is mediocre at best. There's nothing that stands out at any of them that I could think of. And every time I've been, the service has been awful. I remember checking in about a year ago. We were just at the hotel for a night. We wanted to grab a snack while we're waiting for dinner. Get there. The entire staff, except for like one cashier in one of the stands, is dancing. They're having a dance party in the middle, and I'm trying to get food, but no one's there to serve except like one person at each station, so the lines are ridiculously long. And the grab-and-go, I think, is worse than any of the other food courts or restaurant or resort counter service. And it's they're smaller. I mean, I know the resorts are smaller than Pop and Art of Animation, but I think the food courts feel even tighter. The lines just feel worse. There's less seating because of it. I would rather have leftovers that weren't even in a fridge all night than go back for breakfast again there.
Yeah, I completely have to agree with you. When we stay at the All Stars, it's out of, you know, what's the cheapest resort at that point in time to, you know, be in the parks. But yeah, the pizza, the food courts, everything like that, absolutely, you know, it's disappointing that Disney has kind of created this myth that people who stay at the All Stars or Pop don't want to spend money on good food. And, you know, when you're looking at these opportunities, like the world premiere food court at the movies, when you're looking at it, they have nothing but potential. But instead of utilizing that and knowing that people will actually, you know, go there, and you're having so many people who, especially families, they want to have the best food, why not give it to them? Even if they're paying a little bit more, they will do that as long as the food is good quality. But you're seeing all of these food courts basically just having the same pre-prepped food sitting under heat lamps, and that's never good, never appetizing.
And you're at one station when you get to the end of the night. Like, they only have, like, the burger station open when you get, like, Epcot always closes at 9. Some people are going to want to eat when they get back at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yep.
So last couple times we were there, you know, we were there for Food and Wine, so we snacked and then wanted something a little more substantial before going to bed, and we just couldn't. I think I just got a thing of Wheat Thins and a soda and left because the line was, you know, Toy Story length.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at these mistakes, and it's not that the All-Stars just opened. You know, they've been around for a while. They know their guest flow. So I don't know why there's issues with why they don't stay open later, and especially knowing in today's day and age, the people who are going to the parks, they're staying there later because of all of these nighttime experiences. By the time they get back to the resorts, they do want to eat, and they don't just want to have the leftovers. They want to have a good food experience.
Well, I mean, even the pre-wraps, like the pre-prep stuff is, you can get better pre-made sandwiches that have been sitting on a 7-Eleven shelf for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing there. I mean, you get there at 9 o'clock at night, there's not even, like, a bagel to take out. There's just was nothing in the pre-prep station at all.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually shocked that the retail and some of the grab-and-go hasn't just gone to 24 hours. Because you're looking at people who are coming into the resorts at every time of the day. And these types of food courts, especially something like World Premiere, where you do have a lot of people going in there at different times of the day, why not have something set up where people can get something after things have closed? But, you know, that's kind of a different conversation for another day for sure.
I really never want to have to go to Peekaboo again.
All right, well, I think that covers it. We've got everybody's best and worst. We haven't talked about lounges. But I know that Tom was the one that wanted to talk about lounges, and so he's going to talk about that probably next week.
Yeah, Tom's been to a whole bunch. He definitely wants to be on that discussion, and yep. They're cool to discover. They're really fun to go to.
There's some hidden gems there, absolutely, without a question. So, but I think that'll do it tonight. Anything else, Nick, before we sign off?
No, see everybody next week here on WW News Tonight.
All right.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, Nick. Thank you to our panelists, our esteemed panel here.
Math rules!
We will definitely play the math game again.
Oh, yeah.
I think we will have to. All right. Good night, everybody.